Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Step right up here. Don't be shy.
The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Philadelphia Eagles.
That's right. Next stop on the QB carousel, we hit up Philadelphia. We head down the turnpike and look at the Eagles, and they've been in the news as of late. Because last week they did trade Carson Wentz to Indianapolis, and now we think Jalen Hurts is next in line to be the next starting quarterback for the EAGLES Eagles. And now joining us is our Radio.com NFL insider, Elliot Shore Parks. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Elliot, let's take you back to last week first. What the Eagles got in return, a 3 and a conditional 2 for Carson Wentz. How do you assess the value Howie Roseman was able to get back for his once franchise QB?
I think he did a phenomenal job. I think he got great return. I think he got much more return than honestly a lot of people thought, and definitely more return than Eagles fans would have been happy about a few days before when it seemed like maybe the deal was falling through. I mean, you look at the trade. They're either going to get a first and third round pick, which I think is great value for a player that essentially forced his way out. They had the bench last year, and the arrow is definitely pointing down on him. Or if it does remain a second round pick, I think a lot of people are going to look back and say, wow, I can't believe they got a second for that guy. Because if that happens, he either was benched or, you know, God forbid, he suffered an injury. So I think that the return that Howie Roseman got for Carson Wentz was an exceptional job.
I think he did a good job in what he got back, like what you're saying, but how we got here is definitely problematic. It doesn't make sense to me why Carson's no longer in Philadelphia, Doug's no longer in Philadelphia, and Howie is the lone survivor. Why did Jeffrey Lurie retain him?
It's a great question. I mean, look, I think that when you talk about Howie Roseman, and, you know, look, he's the general manager. He is ultimately responsible for all football-related decisions. So he certainly holds blame. But I don't think we can overlook the fact that a lot of big decisions that people like to get on Howie Roseman about, Jeffrey Lurie had a big hand in that. The decision to draft Carson, the decision to sign Carson. I mean, even the decision to pass on DK Metcalf wasn't really Howie's fault. The Eagles, from what I heard, didn't have him medically cleared to be drafted. So, look, Howie is certainly to blame. I think that Doug Peterson should still be here. I don't think he should have been fired. But when you talk about the assessment and the job that Howie has done, Lurie himself is the one that can fire Howie. When Lurie is the one helping make those decisions, of course, he's going to view them differently than a lot of other people do.
Why wasn't it enough for Carson to want to stay in Philadelphia if we hear that the relationship was so poorly with Doug and then you bring in a disciple of Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni? Why was it Carson still wanting out instead of staying here when the organization did try to cater to him?
You know, I don't think people outside of Philadelphia you had to have lived through the Carson Wentz experience to really understand why he wanted out. And I know obviously you follow what happens with the Eagles, you know, being a semi-local guy. That, you know, you understand everything he went through, the Nick Foles situation, Then the following year for Nick Foles to come in and win a playoff game, then for the Jalen Hurts thing. So I really don't think it was about Doug Peterson. I don't think it was about, you know, anything in particular as much as it was he needed a fresh start. And I do not blame him. I think the circumstances he went through were incredibly unique here in Philadelphia. I think it's better for his career that he's now in Indianapolis. And I really don't think it was about Doug Peterson.
Elliot Shore Parks here with us on the QB Carousel. It is the Zach Gelb Show. I look at the situation in Houston, and when we talk about Deshaun Watson and the Texans, and I know him and Carson are two totally different quarterbacks, but they tried to do everything to screw over Watson this past year, and Watson still performed. What was it with Carson's game with in what he could control? He still could not put up somewhat decent stats a year ago.
You know, I don't want to make an excuse for Carson, but again, I'll lean back on kind of what I said. You have to understand what he went through. You know, you talk about the Deshaun Watson situation. A lot of people bring up the Aaron Rodgers situation with Jordan Love and the fact that they drafted a first-round pick and Aaron Rodgers went out and had an MVP year. You just can't compare them to Carson because they did not go through what Carson went through with Nick Foles, with you know, having the whole city value the backup. There to be a statue of the backup outside. So when they drafted Jalen Hurts, it was poking at an already sensitive issue. It wasn't creating a new one like it did with Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't trading DeAndre Hopkins like it was in Houston. It was reopening an incredibly, you know, painful wound that Carson had gone through. So again, not making excuses. He played poorly. Ultimately, I do not think Carson is a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. But last year, to go through what he went through, I understand why he was upset about it.
One more before we get to Jalen Hurts on Carson. Adam Schefter last week said that there were times where Carson and Doug weren't speaking up till 8 to 10 weeks. What have you heard on that front?
Mm-hmm. Look, I think that there was some trust lost between Carson and Doug to a certain extent. Clearly, when he benched Carson, that did not sit well with Carson, as it wouldn't with any player. You know, Adam Schefter is one of the best reporters there. If he says it's 8, 9, 10 weeks, I'll certainly believe him. I hadn't heard it was that bad between Doug and Carson. I know for a fact that Doug was not fired because of Carson. Doug was fired because they did not believe in the coaching staff that he was going to put together. So, you know, at this point, obviously Carson's in Indianapolis, Doug's gone, so they clearly did not have a great relationship.
Jalen Hurts, you expect him to be the starting quarterback next year for Philly, right?
I don't know. I think there's a very real chance they could take a quarterback in the first round. And the reason I say that is they've only drafted in the top 10 twice, I believe, in the Jeffrey Lurie / Howie Roseman era. So they don't really get that high very often unless they trade up there, obviously, like they did for Carson. And if they are rebuilding, you have to look at the positions they value. They value the lines and they value quarterback. At number 6, I don't know if there's a lineman there that makes sense, you know, in terms of best value. If Justin Fields falls to them there, then we're talking about something different. I also don't know if they view Jalen Hurts as a long-term guy. They might. He could turn into that, but I don't think they drafted him with those expectations. So I definitely think a quarterback is on the table for the Eagles at number 6.
I know it was a small sample size, but what did you see out of Hurts last year?
I was incredibly impressed. I really was. I think you have to grade him on a rookie scale. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. Did he have stretches where he went cold? Of course, all rookies did. But again, look back at Carson's rookie year. Carson was 7-9, and I think he had maybe 16 touchdowns to 14 interceptions. Certainly nothing that, you know, on paper blows you away, but we all left Carson's year, rookie year, feeling like, okay, the Eagles have something here. And I think you can feel that same way about Jalen. I think he's incredibly dynamic on the ground as a runner. I think he's a very accurate passer. The numbers don't show that, but from watching him, watching every pass, he throws a very catchable, accurate ball. And I think he has that it factor. I think he has an it factor that, frankly, Carson did not. I think Jalen can handle the city of Philadelphia coming from two big programs. His teammates love him, or at least the younger guys do. So I think they do have something in Jalen Hurts.
How would Philadelphia react if what you were talking about happens at 6 and the Eagle fan, what's the reaction there if they take a QB there?
I mean, look, I think with a lot of Philadelphia, when it comes to the Eagles, people would be torn. I do think there's people that like the idea of it, right? I mean, Jalen Hurts was a late second round pick. So if you get a guy at number 6, I think some people would be excited, but there would also be a lot of frustration. I know when I talk to Eagles fans about it, they say they can't draft a quarterback every year, right? They just signed Carson. They drafted Jalen. Then to go and draft another one, I think some people would be extremely frustrated with that. But here's the truth. Ultimately, once they find their guy, people won't talk about the past. If they draft Justin Fields and he turns out to be as dynamic as, you know, a lot of people think he can be, no one's going to be pointing to the past mistakes because they'll have a winning football team with a dynamic quarterback. So the Eagles have to keep doing what they need to find that quarterback. And until they do, people will be upset.
That's our Radio.com NFL Insider, Elliot Shore Parks on the QB Carousel talking Eagles. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Two quick things off that. Not surprised Wentz got traded. I thought the return was fine for what the situation is a 3 and a conditional 2 that could turn into 1 depending on percentage of snaps played and then also percentage of snaps played and if the Colts make the playoffs. The Hurts dynamic, though, I'm not telling you that Jalen Hurts could be Hall of Famer. I'm not telling you he's going to be a long-term starting quarterback in the league. What I saw, though, down the stretch, the up to the down to the final four games, I would roll with him. I would roll with him for next year. When you have so many needs on this team, I would use that number 6 pick elsewhere. We'll see what the Eagles do, though, because Elliott Shore Parks did not rule out them drafting a QB at 6. And how Howie Roseman could even be in that position to decide who that pick is, it's mind-boggling to me with his poor draft record and just all the bad picks and abysmal picks that he's made. Next stop, let's go.
The Buffalo Bills.
Yep, let's get to Buffalo. Make a stop at Bar Bill or maybe Duff's. And we're always coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Now joining us, former Bills offensive lineman Eric Wood. Eric, Josh Allen, enormous year number 3. What stood out to you the most about the MVP caliber play from one Josh Allen?
You know, I think when you look at Josh, first and foremost, when you look at improvements this year, you got to start with completion percentage. His accuracy was much improved this year, and by much improved, almost a historic pace. He goes from last in the league in completion percentage his rookie year to last his second year to fourth in the NFL this year. But when you look at what the Bills did offensively this year, they ran more 4 wide receiver sets. It gave him some off coverage where he could take some easy underneath throws, and I think that came with development in his game as well, just taking what the defense gave him. And then you add a Stephon Diggs to the mix, and that gave him a guy that could flat out separate from man coverage when he needed someone to. And Cole Beasley, also an all-pro this year, he had an incredible season as well.
You always wonder how front offices approach success. And going into this season, the Bills were just coming off a playoff appearance, and I know they had a disastrous playoff game in Houston. That move, though, to go get Stephon Diggs, how do you kind of quantify what it did to the locker room, showing the organization that, hey, we're still all in to improve this team, even after coming off a year that was successful?
Yeah, I think Brandon Bean identified that they were going to make a move for a wide receiver. And when you go into the draft and you're pigeonholing yourself with the number 23 pick, I think they were, and you're pigeonholing yourself to one position, it could be tough because you have so little control of what happens in front of you. So they use their first-round pick, and they go get Stephon Diggs, and they actually get him for a pretty team-healthy contract, team-friendly contract, I'll say. Minnesota had paid him a chunk of his contract already, so the Bills get Stephon Diggs on a great deal. They didn't utilize him the way Buffalo did this year and featuring as much in the offense. So they saw what they liked in Stephon Diggs. You know, there were rumors out of Minnesota that maybe he was going to be trouble in the locker room. They did their homework, knew that wasn't going to be the case, and boy, did it pay off. And they got themselves a superstar in Buffalo now.
Eric Wood here with us. So you just called him a superstar, and who couldn't after the year that he just had? And you talked about the improvements in the completion percentage, improved it by at least 10% this year. Threw more, over 17 more touchdowns than what he did a year ago. Is there any concerns with how good he was this year that maybe there is some regression, or do you expect him to kind of maintain at the level that he did a year ago?
Well, you got Brian Daboll coming back as offensive coordinator. I think that's a big key to it. And he was up for a number of head coaching jobs this year once the offseason hit. But when you saw Brian Daboll come back, you would assume that the production would stay about the same. It's hard to say that it would go much up from there. I mean, he was top 5, top 10 in most statistical categories, by all indications, number 2 in the MVP race behind Aaron Rodgers. So for him, if he can keep that, if he can maintain that pace, maintain those stats, the Bills would be very happy with it. But if he continues to progress like he has each and every year, you know, the sky's the limit for this kid. He's got so much athleticism. He's so big. He's got so much arm talent. And then you combine that with the fact that he's so competitive, works his tail off, and the Bills got a home run at quarterback right now.
The offensive unit as a whole, where can they improve when you look back on it?
Well, their run game struggled this year, and that will happen when you dedicate yourself to the pass like the Bills did this year for the first time in so many years in Buffalo, where they just a true pass-heavy offense leading the league in four wide receiver sets. I never thought I'd see it in Buffalo. But the Bills make that transformation. They go draft Gabriel Davis in the draft. So they have four wide receivers they have a ton of confidence in. Where they could improve is the run game. And when you throw the ball that much, it's hard to get in a rhythm in the run game. I know that from playing offensive line. You've got to get your feet wet throughout the game. You get your run fit as the day goes on. And then later in the fourth quarter, when you've been constantly pounding on the defense, that's when you start to break those bigger runs. Well, the Bills didn't commit to the run, so they're not going to get that. Next year, could they be more effective in maybe some of these playoff scenarios with some worse weather if they had a better run game? That's something that they're going to have to evaluate. But the running back position as a whole took some criticism this year. The tight end position could potentially be improved. Dawson Knox was in and out of the lineup with injuries this year. He's a super athletic young kid out of Ole Miss, but they could potentially improve there as well. And then along the offensive line, they have some decisions to make. Mitch Morse is extremely high paid at center, and with this salary cap not moving the way everybody thought, you know, there could be just some decisions along the offensive line with some pending free agents and then some higher-priced guys up there.
In the AFC East, and we saw what happened the final week of the season, how far is the gap, though, now with Buffalo and then, I guess, what is the second-best team in the AFC East, the Miami Dolphins, currently?
Well, you know, in the final game, that was a tough situation because you have two and then you really don't have a backup quarterback. It would have been interesting to see how quickly Fitz would have came in the game. And Fitz is my guy who I played with at Buffalo and always said we'll have a ton of love for him. But, you know, the Dolphins played the Bills extremely tough down in Miami earlier in the season. And, you know, Miami had a great defense this year. If Tua can make a progression from year one to year two at quarterback, maybe add a few more pieces around him, you know, they could be a solid number two option in the AFC East. And then with New England, you get some guys coming back off the opt-out, and it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing at quarterback. I'd like to hear your guess for New England at quarterback.
My guess? I may be your guy Ryan Fitzpatrick, honestly.
Really? Yeah, that would allow him to complete the AFC East sweep. So that would be interesting. It's always been fun for me because you know, Fitz has bounced around the AFC a lot, and I always root for him, but it's always tough because it's rooting interest against the Bills. It would be extremely hard for me to root for Fitz in a Patriots uniform, but he'd probably be the only one that could get me to do it.
Well, the big domino really is Deshaun Watson, because if Watson goes to the AFC East, the Jets or the Dolphins, and more so the Dolphins, then that would be some battle for the division crown this year between Buffalo and Miami.
No doubt. Deshaun Watson, I mean, he's a heck of a ball player. And, you know, I see what they're doing down there, too. If they're not going to give him some say in who's coming in, and I get it. Like, people will say, like, the players just need to play, you know, do what you're told. But you're talking about just a phenomenal talent in Deshaun Watson, and you trade away his guy, DeAndre Hopkins, and then you have a down year this year. He cares. He wants to be a part of the decision-making. If I'm an organization, I want my quarterback to have some type of buy-in, some type of say-so in what's going on, similar to when the offense coordinator would ask, you know, guys on the team, you know, what play do you want to see today? Well, the offensive coordinator is doing that because he knows when you take ownership of it, you have to make it work. If I'm an organization, I at least give my quarterback some say in who we're bringing in, because then he has to make it work. And that's my two cents on it.
Eric Wood, last one for you. I think Buffalo is the second best team in the AFC. We got to see what happens this offseason, but going into the year right now, I would say it's Buffalo. What does Buffalo need to do to take down the Chiefs where they weren't able to do so in the AFC Championship game?
Man, they got to be better defensively. They got to be efficient on offense, but I think that's going to come with time, especially with a young quarterback get his first playoff wins this year. But you got to be better defensively, and you got to be able to slow down that Chiefs offense. I said heading into the Super Bowl, I thought it was kind of similar to back when the Patriots had Hernandez and Gronk, and they were really rolling, where most teams in the AFC either had to get bigger at safety or more athletic at linebacker to combat those two. I thought Kansas City was a little different in the sense that it's speed at the receiver position and athleticism at tight end, but you really need three corners that can run if you're going to play single high against Kansas City. Well, you either have to have three corners that can run, or you got to have a front six that can defend the box so you can play cover two man at will, which is what Tampa did, which was astounding to me, that they were able to hold up in the run game with just those six guys in the box and completely defend the screens and everything Kansas City was throwing out there. So for Buffalo, you either got to get more athletic at your third cornerback position, or you need to get better with your front six, and that probably comes with maybe a defensive lineman or two.
There he is, former Bills offensive lineman Eric Wood, joining us to break down the Buffalo Bills on the QB carousel. We'll break when we come on back. How many starting quarterbacks right now in the NFL would you say goodbye to in order to, quote-unquote, upgrade and bring in Cam Newton? We discuss on the other side. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
That's Cam on the I Am Athlete podcast. Cam didn't even give himself a ringing endorsement. If you think about that, Trace, because the follow-up was, there's not 32 guys better than me. All right, you top five, top 10. He wouldn't even say he's top 10, top 15, just, I am not 33. There's, I may be 32. He didn't say it exactly. 31, 30, 26. Oy, that does not, I like Cam. I think he's done, though, being a successful starting quarterback again. Could he maybe have an average season? Yes. If you're bringing in Cam thinking you're going to get back, I don't think anyone brings him in thinking they're going to get an MVP Cam again. But if you're bringing in Cam, I don't even think you think you're getting 65, 70% of the MVP that he was. We're going back to Super Bowl 50 was that MVP season. And the last 3 years, two of them he was banged up. And this past year, I know they didn't have much in New England, but what he could control, geez, he was horrible. He had one good game this year, Seattle. After that, terrible. So how many current starting quarterbacks, if I gave you the option right now, what you have in place or you're bringing Cam, how many of those quarterbacks would you say I give up on to make Cam my starter? Buffalo, Josh Allen, no shot. You're not giving up on Josh. Miami, I know Tua didn't have a good half a season. Tua's on a team-friendly deal, rookie contract. He was the fifth overall pick. I want to see a full season of Tua instead of bringing in a guy that's 32 that is banged up. Yeah, no doubt about it, you go Tua. How about the Patriots? You go back to New England or you roll with Jarrett Stidham? If it comes down to that, I would rather roll with Cam Newton for another season than going to Jarrett Stidham. I don't think Jarrett Stidham is ever going to be a successful starting quarterback with the Patriots. Here's one, Sam Darnold. You may say, well, Sam's 23. You may as well just roll with the youngster. Here's why I would go Cam over Sam. Because I don't think Sam Darnold is A, going to be on the team next year. I think they're going to try to get Watson. If they don't get Watson, I do believe that the Jets would take a quarterback in the draft second overall. And here's why I think that. One, there's no emotional attachment from this new regime with Sam. And not only that, Sam has a year left on his contract. They're going to decline the fifth-year option this offseason. He has a year left on his contract. What are the odds when Sam Darnold could even throw 10 passing touchdowns this past season, even if he goes 17 touchdowns, 10 picks next year, that you're going to give Sam a contract extension? I would say 1%. I'll just be benevolent and give him at least 1%. Sam's done in New York. He's not getting a long-term deal. So with a active QB market where there's not a lot of quality names, but there's a great amount of quantity in terms of teams that need quarterbacks, go get a second-round pick back if you can for Sam Darnold. So, two teams there in the AFC East that are rather Cam than what they currently have, and one of them was the team that he was just on last year. And I guess if you're bringing Cam to the Jets, you're going to draft a quarterback second overall and have Wilson or Fields sit for a little bit. So, I don't even think Cam will make it through the entire season. AFC West, is there a quarterback that you would say goodbye to bring in Cam? You're not saying goodbye to Mahomes. Even though I'm not a big fan of Derek Carr, you're not saying goodbye to Carr. Justin Herbert, no shot. Drew Lock, I would say goodbye to Drew Lock to bring in Cam. I would. AFC North. Ravens, you're not saying goodbye to Lamar Jackson. Browns, you're not saying goodbye to Baker Mayfield. Bengals, you're not saying goodbye to Joe Burrow. How about the Steelers? Trace, I would rather have Ben for one season. I know you can think long-term too, but what's the long-term gain of Cam? You got to have him get through one season. You can't even think long-term at this point. I would rather have Cam for one more year. Excuse me, Ben for one more year than bringing Cam, if I'm Pittsburgh. You agree?
Totally with you there.
100%. Okay. So three teams through three divisions. AFC South, rather have Tannehill over Cam for this upcoming year? Texans? Yeah, you'd rather have Deshaun Watson. We'll see if he can stay there. Trevor Lawrence, rather take Trevor Lawrence? How about the Colts? You're a Colts fan there, Trace. You rather run the risk with Carson Wentz? You gave up a third and a conditional second? Or would you rather not give up? I know it's already too late, but not give up anything and give Cam a cheap one-year deal.
Yeah, even if they didn't make the trade for Wentz, I'll still take almost anyone over Cam, to be honest. Jacoby Brissett, like, I'll take Brissett over Cam.
Wow, in Indianapolis.
I would. So I'll take Wentz over Cam.
I'd rather have Cam than Jacoby Brissett. But if you tell me Ryan Fitzpatrick or Cam for one season, right now, I saw more upside last year with Ryan Fitzpatrick than Cam. And I like Cam. I never thought I'd be saying these things, but that's just the way that I feel.
Colts, I'm with you there.
I guess because you got two similar players. Carson once showed MVP potential. Cam won an MVP. Because Carson's younger, I think you run your chances there and run your odds there. So we just went through the entire AFC. Only three teams that you would trade out whoever's currently starting there for Cam, and one of them was New England, where Cam just played. So it's really two teams. The Jets and the Broncos. Yikes. NFC East. Alex Smith, Taylor Heineke, I'd rather go Cam. Giants, Daniel Jones or Cam? Giants got to keep Daniel Jones. I'm not sold on Daniel Jones with how young he is. I think you keep on, you give him one more year. And the Giants aren't ready to win, so what would be the point of bringing in Cam? And Cam, I don't think, is a winning quarterback anymore. Dak Prescott, rather keep Dak. Here's a good one. Jalen Hurts just finished his rookie season, or Cam? Now, Jalen Hurts, the odds of him doing anything that Cam has done in the NFL, win an MVP, get to Super Bowl, are slim. But you got to ride with Jalen Hurts over Cam at this point because, what, you're going to bring Cam? It's going to be the same thing in New England? You got to have no one around him? And Cam's not at that level anymore where he makes other people better around him. Seahawks? Nope. Stafford? Rams? Nope. Kyler Murray? Cardinals? Nope. Jimmy G or Cam? I'd rather have Jimmy G at this point. Packers. Nope. I'm like Draymond at that parade after the Warriors won. Yep. Nope. Bears. All right. Nick Foles. I basically combined both what I was about to say. Yeah, you got Mitch and you got Foles. You could bring back Mitch Trubisky or you got Nick Foles under contract. And if I'm a Bears fan, I'd rather see Cam. I would. I thought the Bears, quite frankly, should have brought in Cam last year instead of trade for Nick Foles, or as I like to call him, Mitch Foles. I guess they're the same type of quarterback now. They both stink. Nick Foles did win a Super Bowl MVP, though, at one point. Kirk Cousins. Vikings fans, you may not like Kirk Cousins. You may not love him. You like that. You like that. You'd rather have Kirk Cousins than one Cam Newton. Jared Goff. Now, I don't like Jared Goff whatsoever. I don't think he's a good quarterback, but there's more upside there than Cam. Saints, Jameis Winston or Cam? If, you know, assuming Drew doesn't come back, Jameis Winston. Buccaneers, Tom Brady or Cam? Huh? Yeah, Tom Brady. Falcons, Matt Ryan or Cam? Matt Ryan. Now, here's a good one, and I saved it because it's the best for last. Carolina, Teddy Bridgewater, who is now in the second year of a three-year deal, or Cam? I'd rather go Cam than Teddy Bridgewater, personally. Now, if Teddy Bridgewater never went through that injury, and I know he was 5-0 with the Saints 2 years ago, this year, how many games did you see Teddy Bridgewater just fall on his face with the game on the line? Fall flat on his face with the game on the line? So we just went through all of them. Like five or six teams at most. And some of those, I'm being benevolent, you could argue the other case. Is Cam in the league 2 years from now? Is he playing two more years in the National Football League? Now, does he want to be a backup? Because you could hang on 3, 4, 5 years, hope someone gets hurt and be a backup. I do believe he'll be starting somewhere next year. And maybe it ends up being Washington's football team. But is he going to complete the season? Two reasons why he could not complete the season: injuries, or his play's just not there. But if I look around at all these landing spots right now that are realistic, if you're Chicago, honestly, you're not bringing him in. Even though I would rather have him than Trubisky or Foles, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy's jobs are on the line. You're going to go with Cam when you didn't do so last year by him? Yeah, I would say no. I would say if you're looking at the three best landing spots, because I don't think it's going to be the Broncos. I think the Broncos either go for Watson or they'll run back with Locke, even though I would rather have Cam over Locke. But if I'm looking at the three best landing spots, it's a return to New England, or it's going to Chicago, which I don't think is going to happen, or maybe the best landing spot for him would be Washington. Familiarity with Ron Rivera. You got Antonio Gibson there. You got Terry McLaurin. You got a dominant defense. If you could just not turn over the football and be a game manager, you could go win that NFC East this year, which is not going to be good. But I also bring up, Ron had a chance last year to go bring in Cam, and he went with the other guy from Carolina, Kyle Allen. Traded up, traded to get something to get Kyle Allen. And said, Cam, nope, not interested in you. So Cam, his options are slim. I do think at some point during the year we'll see him as a starting quarterback. I don't think he's going to end the year, though, as a starting quarterback. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs on the Zach Gelb Show. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Trace, don't be a disgrace. What do you got for me today?
We'll try not to be. Well, Zach, as you start off the show, the Brooklyn Nets have hit their stride as they defeated the Clippers on Sunday night by a score of 112-108. The win meant the Nets swept their West Coast stretch, going 5-0 against the Warriors, Kings, Suns, Lakers, and Clippers, with most of those wins coming without Kevin Durant on the court. Brooklyn is now just a half game behind the Sixers for the top spot in the East, while the Clippers, Lakers, Jazz, and Suns still have a higher winning percentage than Brooklyn. So onsides or offsides, the Nets currently are the best team in the NBA.
The Nets are the best team in the Eastern Conference. They were my pick before the year to get to the finals. Once they got James Harden, I didn't waver, and I'm not wavering off of that right now. Best team, though, in the NBA. Lakers aren't at 100% because AD's out. Paul George, he's playing, but not playing in the final 3 minutes last night, which I didn't get. If you're going to play in 33 minutes, why are we worrying about load management there and minutes restrictions? Right now, I'll still go Utah. I'm not telling you I think Utah's going to win the championship, but Utah has just won 20 out of their last 22 games. I will say that the Nets are definitely closing the gap. The Nets may be the most dangerous and the team with the most potential in the NBA because we still barely have even seen Durant, Harden, and Kyrie play together. The Nets, there's no doubt about it in my mind. Did they stay healthy, that trio? They're going to be in the NBA Finals. Now, will they win it all? That's another question. But as we currently sit here today, I'm not going to call them the best team in the NBA. So I go offsides.
Offside!
But pretty, pretty close. That was a long way of me saying, it's pretty, pretty, pretty close.
So, Zach, obviously we talked a lot about Deshaun Watson and sweepstakes. But one team that could be lurking in the weeds could be the Carolina Panthers.
Little Matt Rule magic right there. Gotta love it. Two for Temple U.
Represent. So Carolina has made a few moves to free up some cash space in the past week, and Peter King, in his weekly column, put a trade offer out there for the Panthers to make to the Texans. King proposed that Carolina makes a trade package that includes Christian McCaffrey, Teddy Bridgewater, Robbie Anderson, 2 first-round picks, a second-round pick, and a third-round pick, all for the services of Deshaun Watson. So onsides or offsides, if this trade package is offered, Deshaun Watson should want to go to Carolina.
Offsides.
Offside.
You're taking Christian McCaffrey away. You're taking a lot of picks away. And you're also taking Robbie Anderson away. So what's left? A lot of cap space, I guess. Hit up free agency. Mike Davis is good. I'd rather have McCaffrey. And you got DJ Moore, who's a good young wide receiver. Here's what I would do if I'm Carolina. Why give up McCaffrey? Why give up Robbie Anderson? Why not just give up the picks? Three first-round picks. You get the eighth overall pick, two other first-round picks, boom. I get Deshaun Watson. Maybe also throw in a three. That's what I would do if I am the Carolina Panthers. And if I'm Deshaun Watson and you want to go to Carolina, which I think is an attractive destination, because how much longer? I don't know. Brady's going to play. Breeze is going to retire. We'll probably find that out this week. Atlanta, does anyone think Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are going to be dominating that division for years to come? I think Matt Rule is building something. He needs a quarterback. If you want to make the playoffs this year, go get Deshaun Watson. But keep Christian McCaffrey and Robbie Anderson. I just go picks, 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 picks. That's what I would do. And if I'm Deshaun Watson, I really want to go to Carolina, let's say. No. Say I'm not going there if you trade Christian McCaffrey. Boom. Give another first-round pick. Then the deal gets done. You have some control there with that no-trade clause. All right, what's number three?
So, Zach, speaking of quarterbacks, the Colts, they landed their quarterback
your
last
team.
Week.
Your team. Your Indianapolis Colts. Do you ever go INDY? Because that's what the play-by-play guide says.
I like that. Matt Taylor kind of switched it up. I like the
INDY!
Touchdown, INDY. Maybe, hopefully, if he's there for a long time, the Colts score a lot of touchdowns. That'll be his, like, thing that we know. Mitch Holtis with the touchdown. Kansas City, maybe we'll start doing INDY more often.
Or, what's his name, Matt Taylor for the Colts? He channeled his inner Gene Dekaroff during the Super Bowl. It would be like IYDN.
Who is that scoring?
I listened back, and they had to be in terrible broadcast booth position. But even the final call, he goes, what is this? Ring number six for Brady? You got to know Brady just won his seventh ring. But, hey, what can you do?
Yeah.
All right, transition. What do you got for us here?
Transition to the Colts, because like we said, they got their quarterback of the future in Carson Wentz. Although, not everyone is sold that the former number two overall pick can find his mojo again. Speaking on Get Up this morning, former NFL general manager Mike Tannenbaum called Wentz the worst quarterback in the AFC South. Mr. T himself said that. Believing Deshaun Watson, Ryan Tannehill, and even incoming quarterback Trevor Lawrence are all better than Wentz. Odds are offsides. Carson Wentz is the worst quarterback in the AFC South.
Think about it. I never thought about it that way. Good job by Mr. T. All right. Here's why. It's a good job. It's true. If I asked you right now, Watson, Tannehill, Trevor Lawrence, Wentz, who would you least want? It's Carson Wentz. And the Colts are getting praised for this deal, as they should. Low risk, high reward, three, conditional two, the familiarity for what the market is. I think it's a good move, but yeah, right now Carson Wentz is the worst quarterback out of all those quarterbacks in the AFC South. And Trevor Lawrence hasn't even played a snap yet in the National Football League. So I go on sides with that one.
All right, Zach. So before the quarterback carousel even really got turning, Adam Schefter back on January 25th gave a bold prediction for how active he thinks this offseason will be for
ESPN,
quarterbacks.
By the way, they love the bold predictions when it comes to quarterbacks. The
you
Panthers
can confuse some bold predictions for actual points.
Right? The Panthers. Oh, it's a report. Three first-round picks and McCaffrey. That's been all over the place. It was a bold prediction, not a report, which that's the slippery slope when you have informed reporters giving bold predictions. People then just report it as if it's factual, and that's the information they're being told, because you wonder what information they are being told. But then the guy at ESPN that had the Panthers report with that bold prediction, which wasn't a report, it was just a bold prediction, he says that the Panthers are going to be serious players for Deshaun Watson, and no one's talking about that factoid, that little nugget that he dropped on us. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you. I don't want to be rude. Go ahead.
No, it's okay, Zach. Well,
of course it is. It's my show.
What isn't a report and what actually is factual is that Adam Schefter, back on January 25th, gave a bold prediction that
bold
he believes
prediction.
There will be a ton of quarterback changes in 2021. Now, he himself set an over-under for different quarterbacks and new teams at 18. And he even took the over on his own under-over-under that he set for himself. So far, the Rams traded their starting quarterback in Jared Goff with picks in exchange for Matthew Stafford. As you just mentioned before, the Colts traded for Carson Wentz, while teams like the Panthers, Bears, and Patriots have been actively looking for quarterback changes. So on sides or offside, Zach, there will be over 18 new quarterbacks in 2021.
Wow, 18 new. All right, I'm going to try to go no benefit of the doubt. I think we'll get to 18. Allen's not going anywhere. Mahomes not going anywhere. Carr, could he be dealt? Yeah, I don't think so. Herbert, that's four. Let's say Big Ben doesn't even come back. Lamar Jackson, five. Mayfield, six. Burrow, seven. Tannehill, eight. All right. That's only eight. I'm not, you know, Colts have a new quarterback. Texans, I think Watson gets dealt. And the Jaguars are going to have a new quarterback. So we're eight in one conference. Whew. Daniel Jones is going to be back. That's nine. Dak. Yeah, he'll be back. That's 10. Now, Jalen Hurts, I would imagine, is not counted in that, right? I would probably say no, right?
Yeah, probably not.
All right. That's fine. Seahawks. Wilson back. 11. Kyler Murray back. 12. I still think Jimmy G will be back unless they get Watson. I don't think Watson, like, trade destination, but I'll go there. That's 13. Rodgers, 14. Kirk Cousins, 15. Ooh, this is close. Brady, 17. Matt Ryan, boom, 18. And there's probably going to be another quarterback or two that does make their triumphant return with that team. So there will be over 18 new quarterback changes in 2021 to start the season. I will go offsides.
Offsides.
Final one. Take us home.
So very quickly here, Zach. Obviously, as we know, Tua Tagovailoa, up and down rookie year in Miami. And while his name has been thrown around a lot in Deshaun Watson discussions, his name also came up earlier this week as Albert Breer of MMQB reported that at the Senior Bowl, a team flat out asked his teammate Devontae Smith whether he would have prefer Mac Jones or Tua Tagovailoa as his quarterback, to which Devontae Smith answered Mac Jones. Onside or offside, the Dolphins should be concerned by Smith's answer.
No, you did your scouting report. He's allowed to think someone's better. It's not him saying that Tua Tagovailoa is horrible. He just thinks that Mac Jones is going to be slightly better. Now, I would love to see third overall pick those two teammates reunite, because that would be a fun day or two in the media circuit. So the Dolphins should be concerned by Smith's answer. I would go offsides.
Offsides.
But Smith did create some memories with Tua Tagovailoa. Game-winning touchdown catch in a national championship walk-off. But then, look what he did this past year with Mac Jones. We talk Cam and what a kid said to Cam next. Disgraceful. CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.